This week's episode is sponsored by Spaces. Spaces is a new platform backed by 15 plus years of educator feedback designed to document the process and progress behind student learning in your classroom. Join the Spaces community to connect with educators across North America and gain access to free teacher-created resources, help educators who are just starting out on their journey, and learn new things from teachers who have been there before. So visit community.spacesedu.com today.
Is this the teacher hotline?
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Teacher Hotline. My name is Ronald Hay, and I am your host for today, and we try to answer some of the most pressing questions for teachers in and outside of the classroom. Today, we have Emma from the Toronto District School Board. Emma, how can we help you today?
Hi, Ron. I love your podcast. I've also seen you perform comedy, and I really love your material. I'm just wondering, how do you keep your professional career and stand-up comedy life separate? Do the students, parents, and administration support what you do? With that being said, are you ever afraid that your comedy will get you in trouble as a teacher? I'm also wondering if you know any other teachers in Toronto that are also secretly stand-up comedians. Thanks.
Thank you so much for the call, Emma. That is a great question. I love talking about comedy, so a question like this got me super excited for today's episode. So today I bring in fellow teacher and comedian Ronan Geisler. Inside the classroom, Ronan has been a teacher for 15 years and teaches high school English and ESL to adult newcomer and refugees. Ronan received his B.Ed. from Lakehead University. Outside the classroom, though, Ronan is a stand-up comedian in Toronto and also hosts the popular Learn English Funcast podcast, where he teaches English learners around the world how to learn English through jokes. Ronan is also the founder of the Jewish Comedy Festival and Cannabis Comedy Festival. He's a killer comedian, and I'm excited to have him on the show today. Ronan, welcome aboard, my man.
Thanks for having me.
I can't believe I just met you, like, literally, what is it now? I guess a couple of weeks ago. I can't believe, I don't know, comedy seems like such a big world, but small world at the same time. How long have you been doing comedy for?
Pretty like around 8 years I've been doing it.
8 years. I've been doing it for six. I'm surprised I have never bumped into you. Are you from Toronto or what area are you from?
Yeah, I'm from Toronto.
Jeez, we just haven't been doing the same shows together.
Weird. I don't know. But I guess for the past 2-3 years, like, it's really changed a lot, right? Like, the scene, and like, we weren't able to do a lot of shows.
Yeah.
So that could be it.
That's true. I've been dying to have a comic on this show and just talk about jokes and talk about teaching. And I feel like sometimes not everyone understands kind of how the two world works, and having you on the show today kind of got me super excited. So I got to ask you, like, you know, why did you want to be a comedian in the first place, man?
So, like, what happened was I went to teacher's college. I went to, like, Lakehead.
Yeah.
And after that, I was thinking about doing my master's because, like, I wanted, like, I think, like, if you have a master's, you can go teach in college or whatever. So I want to teach, like, adults. I didn't like teaching children. I dislike teaching children.
So when you say children, you mean, like, are you talking about, like, what age level?
Probably, like, I went to teacher's college for, like, elementary school, like, primary, junior. I can't teach kindergarten, grade 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah,
I find it's too much energy. Like, you finish work, it's too much energy. So I enjoy teaching, like, higher grades.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about getting my master's, and I was just online looking for master's courses, and I found that, like, Humber had a master's in comedy program, and it was $250 for 6 weeks, once a week, and you got, like, a master's in comedy.
What?
So yeah, basically. So, like, I signed up. I'm like, this is a great deal.
So you have a master's in comedy next to your name?
Yeah. So, yeah, you can get it from Humber. I don't know if they still have, I think they still have the program because they have a BA program, I think, or like a degree program for 2 years. But why would you do that if you can just get the master's in 6 weeks?
Yeah, you know? That bumps you up probably on the AQ grid too.
So yeah, it was a great program, but I guess it was more of like an advanced level because I remember the first class, They already expected us to have like a 5-minute set and perform. So
did I didn't you have anything?
Did I have anything to first class? No, I told them like I didn't have it ready. So I prepared something for the second class. So that's right. When I did my first like 5-minute set. But I think what they do is when you take that course, they let you do YuckYuckSWICE, like the open mic night. They book you for it. And I just really enjoyed it. And I started, you know, heading up the open mic scene and just, you know, just learning what it's all about.
Nice. So you've been doing it for 8 years now. I've been doing it for roughly 6. I always ask myself this question. So I'm curious about what your answer is. Like, do you have any, like, I don't know, aspirations in comedy? Like, where are you going with this? Like, and I sometimes I don't even know what the hell I'm doing with this. I'm like, I feel like I'm just wasting my time, but I don't know. Do you have a goal? I feel like I'm just walking in circles. I'm just dying slowly every time I go on stage. So I'm like, oh, what do you want to do with this, man? I don't know. Maybe help me out here.
I think I just always want to get better. I feel like for me, I get like the same high in comedy as I do in teaching. Like what I enjoy about teaching a lot is when I go to a classroom and like I teach a lesson, but I make them laugh, right? Yeah. So I enjoy getting that laughter from the students. And I enjoy the same thing from, you know, doing comedy. And I find it similar. If you're teaching, like I've taught a course where I'm teaching the same class, let's say same course or same lesson, like 3 or 4 times in a day, mm-hmm. I always modify and change it, right? Mm-hmm. Like I assess how my lesson went. Mm-hmm. And I find it similar in comedy, right? Like you have your set. And you're always changing it, you're always modifying it till you make it better, right? So I find like a lot of similarities. Goal-wise, I guess this year, I guess everyone's doing an album. I feel like I need to do an album.
I've noticed that. Everyone's doing albums.
And I don't want to do like an album just because I want to do an album. I think if I say I'm going to do an album, it's going to help encourage me to like write more, you know?
Yeah.
To do more material and to write on it and to work on it. So that's what I want to do it. But I guess my long-term goal is I also like produce shows.
Yeah.
And I've created like 2 festivals and I've been really working on that. So I'm like really working like to like develop that and make 2 more shows and get it bigger and have that really probably as a source of income, because I don't think I'm going to ever make a career out of comedy where it's going to pay enough to pay the bills, you know?
Yeah, people keep asking me that, like, oh, Ron, like, you're going to quit teaching soon and become a comic full time. I'm like, I don't think that's going to happen. you have definitely no idea. Not. Like you're getting paid like $50 a show or whatever. I'm like, that's not going to even get me home through an Uber ride. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. So would you say your like persona on stage is like, I've only seen you once, but you know, would you say your persona and energy on stage is very similar to how you are in the classroom?
I'm trying to get there. I'm definitely trying to get there. I feel like my, like as a teacher, I always had my voice. So like since the first time like I stepped into the classroom and my first lesson that I taught, I feel like I had it naturally there. But in regards to comedy, definitely not. I definitely first couple of years, I was very, very nervous. You know, I stuttered a lot. I had very, very bad timing. I wasn't confident on stage and like I'm still working on it, but I definitely feel more and more confident. I'm trying to make myself the same type of comedian as I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher, I can go to any classroom, I can supply anyone, any class, and just be confident in my speaking, be confident in my lessons, be confident in the environment. I'm just trying to get that as a comic.
It's interesting that you say that because I totally know what you mean, because I can walk into a classroom, my classrooms now, and it's like autopilot. It's like,
yeah,
anything can happen. It's like, yeah, whatever, I got this under control. Whereas I feel like I'm at that stage where I'm like, I'm confident on stage, but I feel like if something were to happen, maybe it could throw me off, and it's not at the same. I still need a little bit of catching up. So I totally resonate with what you're saying there.
Yeah, definitely.
So another question people keep asking me is like, you know, what my boss and what students and parents think about my comedy, or like, do I try to hide it, or if I'm like ever like worried about people finding out, because like, you know, it could get you in trouble depending on what you talk about. And, you know, I don't know what you talk about. So, well, number one, I'm curious to hear what you talk about, if you want to say on this podcast or not, because like I said, I've only seen you once in a roast battle, so I'm sure that's not your actual material.
Yeah.
But so number one, like, Do people in your work environment know that you do this? And like, if they do, like, how do they feel about it?
I mostly don't tell anyone that I work with. I teach mostly like ESL right now. So most of my students don't really speak English or understand English well enough. So that's like one group that I have. So I'm not really too concerned about it. I do teach adults in the evening, and they do understand English, but I just don't tell anyone what I really do. I just tell them, like, you know, I'm mostly a teacher. I did get kind of caught once when I did the roast battle for Your Hood's a Joke. It was me against Fouad. It was for New Year's. It was at the Panasonic Theater, I guess. Danish did it. So he bought ads on the subway. So it was like ads like Israel versus Iran. And there's like a picture of me in like a boxing position. And it was all across the subway. So like, I remember I had like my, like the admin, like the secretary of the school, like one day, she's like, I think I see your picture whenever I take the subway. Are you on the subway? Are you like facing Iran or something? And then I'm like, yeah, I was like, yeah, it's a charity boxing match. That's what I told her. She's like, okay. It's like, that's the one time I almost got caught. But yeah, most of my students don't really like, no, I don't really tell them.
Well, you say the word caught, which kind of implies that, I don't know, you're, I don't know, nervous about people knowing, like, I don't know, like if someone found out, like, would you care? Like, no, like, someone did find it.
I don't know.
Like,
I'm not too nervous. Like a lot of my like managers and like supervisors in schools, like they found out, like they've definitely known and stuff. I don't think that they've really looked at any of my material online. I do have some stuff that's pretty like dirty and like offensive. I do have some like pedophile jokes I use as a joke, you know, some teaching
they're
stuff.
They're all jokes.
They're all jokes. I figure like what could happen? Like, you know,
right.
It's comedy, right? Like if they tell me, you know, it's inappropriate, but it's comedy at the end of the day, right? I'm not performing it in a club. So,
right. I don't know. Do you find that like, there are, I feel like I know the answer to this based on your last answer, but I don't know, because you're a teacher, do you find that sometimes when you're writing, you feel the need to, I don't know, avoid certain topics to talk about because you're a teacher and you're like, oh, I don't want to lose my teaching license, or I don't know if someone catches me. I don't know, like, does that ever cross your mind?
No, not really. I don't know.
That's a stupid question. You're right.
I like to have fun with the jokes and also like the scenarios, I guess. Again, like I have a lot of stories from teaching. Like I have some pretty funny stories and like to share them. And like not all
of
them are
like... Tell me, like what's the funny story? This is where the we talk about this stuff.
I have a story. I guess I'm kind of like... I don't know if I'm working. It's a story. Like I was teaching phys ed class. I was teaching sexual education.
Okay.
And I had this one student, like it was these all students from China, like these rich students from China who come to Canada for like their grade 12. So they get like high grades because it's like a private school. I guess they change their grades and stuff. And so I had this one girl in my classroom and she never talked in my entire class. And especially in the sex ed class, she would just be sleepy. And whenever I communicated with her, so like she used to like moan. And it used to be super weird. I'd be like, Shirley, how are you today? She's like, ah. I'm like, Shirley, well, what's happening? She's like, ah. Like she was like some kind of like anime character. She's just moaning. So like I made a joke one day in class. I'm like, Shirley, what's wrong? She's like, ah. I'm like, Shirley, are you, because I was teaching about, you know, like birth control and all that stuff, you know, safe sex. I'm like, Shirley, are you pregnant? And she's like, oh. And then I just picked like a random kid who was sleeping. You know, is he the daddy? And like everyone laughed. I made a joke in the classroom, you know?
Oh my God.
But what happened a few weeks later is we had the sex ed class again because we'd have gym class for like 2 or 3 weeks. And then we'd have like one like sex ed class. And we're in the classroom and at the same time, I'm like, Shirley, what's happening? And I remember she stood up in the classroom and she's like, I'm like, Shirley, okay? She's like, teacher, no, I'm not good. I'm like, what's wrong, Shirley? And she's like, I'm pregnant.
Oh,
and I'm
no.
Like, that's the first thing she told me in English. So I'm like, wow, where did you learn that? Yeah. And she was like the 16-year-old girl. I'm like, holy shit. And then,
oh my God.
And then I looked at the table of that random, I'm like, who's the daddy? And then I looked at the table of that random boy I picked, and he wasn't there.
Oh. So wait. Yeah, sorry, keep going. I feel like I'm invested in this story now.
So like what ended up happening was apparently that kid, that random kid that I picked, got her pregnant or something. And he like freaked out and he basically like these are really rich like Asian kids. So he stole her roommate. Her roommate had $20,000 under the bed. So he stole like 20K from her roommate and ran away back to China.
Wow.
And that's what ended up happening. And then the girl, she started like freaking out because she's pregnant. So she complained to the school and she told her family. And her mom came from China to go see the situation, you know, deal with it. Because they were to see if she's going to continue school or not. While this other kid, I guess, like he just gave up his whole year of school and they couldn't find him. He was back in China. And it was like a whole like ordeal. And basically what ended up happening at the end, like the messed up part at the end was she wasn't pregnant.
What do you mean she wasn't pregnant?
She made up the entire story.
She made up the story?
And like, yeah, she made up the entire story because of it. This kid like quit school, robbed her roommate, went back to China, missed a year of school. And like, when I think about it in retrospect, I'm like, who gave her that idea?
It was you.
So, yeah, I'm a good teacher, guys. Sometimes you shouldn't joke around in the classroom. That's basically it.
Wow, that's unreal, man. Holy smokes. That's wild.
Yeah.
And I'm sure like you've been teaching for 15 years. I'm at year 11 now. Like I'm sure after 15 years, you just have so many of these stories. Like, do you find that as a comic that some of these stories come to life on stage? Do they inspire your joke writing? Or you're like, you know, I'd rather write about whatever. I don't know what you write about, but yeah. What do you write about? I actually don't even know, man. what's your jokes about?
I have a lot of jokes about like teaching. I lived in China for a few years. Like I originally started teaching in China, like English. I lived in Beijing. So I have a lot of stories, I guess, like living in China and teaching ESL. Currently, I'm writing, like I do the cannabis comedy festival and the Jewish comedy festival. So I perform on those. I mix it between Jewish jokes for elderly people who are seniors, 65 plus, and then also stoner jokes. And then whatever in between comes, I guess, in my everyday life.
Right.
So it's pretty weird because I do have to write clean for the Jewish festival.
I was going to say, are you a clean comic? Or?
So I mix it up. So I have very clean jokes and then I also have dirty jokes. So
right. Interesting. I find that, again, maybe this is one of the reasons why we were saying this kind of offline that, you know, there are actually a lot of teachers that are comics as well, but, and they, you know, they don't like to blend the two worlds together. Maybe, I don't know, maybe it's because of their jokes or maybe they're afraid of, I don't know, who knows what the reasons is, but, I don't know why. I guess my question for you is like, how come you're so comfortable? I don't know. Talking about a lot of this stuff so openly about whether it's your jokes about, I don't know, just telling people that you're a comic and teacher as well. But I don't know, maybe I'm confused as I'm saying this out loud. Before you were saying like, you know, you lied to the lady saying you're doing the boxing match, but you also are very confident.
I think the real reason is because I don't have like a contract school board job.
Right.
So right. I don't have benefits. I don't have a pension really. So, you know what I mean? So I teach, like if you're a teacher, like I teach, Link.
Mm-hmm.
So Link is,
What's Link?
So Link is, so you can go to teacher's college. So I went to teacher's college. I'm a primary junior. And then I did my AQs for intermediate and senior. Mm-hmm. Right. And then I did, ABQs. Does your audience know these? I guess they know all these, right?
ABQ, everyone.
AQs,
yeah.
ABQs, I guess to specialize in ESL. What ended up, so it was a hard time finding, let's say I had a lot of teaching jobs where it was like private schools. Most of these were Chinese private schools that they hired me because I speak Mandarin and they weren't really, some schools were really bad. Like they were very corrupt and whatnot. They weren't that good. Some schools were good. But what ended up happening was I moved to New York for a bit to do a comedy and I was trying to get a job there. I guess it's a job there. And I had an opportunity to get a teaching job there. But in the States, they have a TESOL certification. So in Canada, we also have TESOL certification, like TESOL Ontario, TESOL Canada. So what ended up happening was I had to get my TESOL US TESOL certification. So I guess they have like an equivalency board. So this is the scam that I did. So if anyone wants to get TESOL Canada certification, this is a good hack. Okay. So let's say you're an OCT teacher, like a teacher, you're a qualified teacher here. if you want to get TESOL Ontario, you have to go to school here and you have to do many, many hours of, I guess, like volunteering inside the classroom in order to get it, which I think is a waste of like money because you have to do placement for many hours because you already do placement when you're going to teachers college.
All right.
So what I did was I went to New York. They have TESOL New York. I paid for the equivalency and because I have like, I guess like English qualifications, ESL qualifications, AQs, they gave it to me. And then when I came to Canada, I didn't end up taking that job in the States because it took like another year or two for the visa process. So I came back to Canada and I'm like, I have New York TESOL. I'm going to go to TESOL Ontario and show them my New York TESOL and see if they'll give me the equivalency for this. And they did. So that's how I got my TESOL Ontario license. So this is the hack. If you're a teacher and you have OCT and basically you want to get your TESOL Ontario without going to school, pay for the qualifications in New York. And then when you get the New York qualifications, pay to get those qualifications in Canada. You guys get the hack?
There you go. We're always learning something on the teacher hotline over here. That's the best podcast out there.
You're going to save so many hours in placement and everything. Because to take the course, I think it's a few thousand dollars, a few thousand hours in placement you have to do. And you can bypass all of that.
Jesus Christ. Why don't you work at like I work at a private school too. You don't know that, but like I work at a private school, but I work at like a independent private school. I don't know if you know the difference, but it's they pay pension, they have benefits, they pay what the school boards do. Do you know what I'm talking about? They're called the K schools.
All right, yeah, I've heard of those. It's like
yeah. So like they're non-profit and they just do. Anyways, give me your resume and we'll talk afterwards.
I'm pretty happy with my gig right now. Like I teach, but I don't teach like full time. I have a few like part time gigs, because like they're still online right now because of the pandemic. So instead of teaching for like, I'm teaching three times less, but the pay is the same, and it gives me time for to do comedy and really like my biggest goal is really I want to produce like Girl Like the Jewish Festival and the cannabis one and hopefully make that like my main source of income.
I was gonna say, like, speaking of that, like, how do you find time to balance both worlds more from like a time perspective? Because I find for me, I'm not gonna lie, like I find it very challenging sometimes. Like I live in Mississauga. I don't know where you live, but I find just going into the city, like doing the drive and then, booking all these shows, like maybe three times a week, four times a week. It's like, it gets taxing after a while. And then you got to find time to write new material and then find, shitty open mics to like try these jokes out. I don't know. Like I find it, sometimes I feel really burnt out. How do you find time to balance your professional life and then this comedy life?
Well, number one, as a teacher, I don't do any lesson planning.
Well, you've been doing it for 15 years, so you know what you're doing. You're just autopilot at this point.
Well, I teach mostly like ESL. So what I do is they have like a website, it's called ESL Library. I don't know if you heard of it. I think they changed it to le.com. So it's kind of like a Netflix for like lesson plans. Mm-hmm. So you pay like a monthly fee. A lot of the school boards cover it. And they have for ESL, for English language, they have all the lessons and the levels set out there. So I just go, I'm like, what lesson do I want to do? And it's already all set up. So I save a lot of time with that. And then I guess the comedy, I do live closer to the city. I live closer to like Yonge and Eglinton. So it's not too far.
Oh, that's a great area. I used to live in that area.
Yeah. So it's a lot easier for me to get to mics and places. And yeah.
How many shows do you do a week? Like on average?
Not as many. I do probably around maybe like right now, maybe like between 2 to 3.
Right. 2 to 3. Yeah. I try to aim 2 to 3. I find that even sometimes, like right now I'm averaging one show a week right now this month.
Yeah.
I find it difficult to, I don't know, write, go on stage, try the jokes out. And then like, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but I guess I'm overwhelmed. This is just turning into a therapy session at this point. I'm like, come on and help me. You have answers or?
it's tough though. Cause if you go to some, like there's a lot of like mics in the city, but there's also like a lot of open mics. And like, I guess like the first few years I'd go to a lot of open mics.
Yeah.
But like Do you really develop as much going for open mics?
Dude,
after
I've
a while?
Stopped. I don't know. I've don't honestly know. Stopped doing open mics, man. I'm only doing booked shows at this point because I don't know. I'm at, like I said, I'm at year six. I'm finding the open mics very, they don't give me anything anymore.
Yeah.
They like, I might do it if I'm like bored. I'm like, yeah, you know what? Maybe I'll just try out this new joke and see if it works. And, or if I haven't done, been on stage for like weeks, like I've taken time off, I might do an open mic just to get the rust off. I don't know. What about you? Do you do the mics? Or
I think it depends. I think there's some good open mics that actually have audiences and crowds.
Right.
They can go to. And then there's just some where like, no one's there. It's just like comics and like they leave right after. So you're just basically performing to yourself, right?
Yeah. Those are the worst.
Yeah.
Right. You've been doing it for 8 years now. Any interesting people, experiences, or standout shows that really pop out to you in your 8 years through comedy?
I think one of the shows we did before I did the Cannabis Comedy Festival, me and my partner, I have a partner that I do the Cannabis Comedy Festival with. We wanted to do like a Canadian festival. It was called Beaver and Bacon. Mm-hmm. So we're doing at the Region Theater, and the first act that we like booked that we did the show with, it was with Kenny versus Spenny. You know, Kenny and Spenny.
Oh yeah, yeah. Get out of here. You got Kenny versus Spenny on.
Yeah,
there, right?
So we got them to like headline it. And I remember we booked this theater, and like the guy who like manages the theater, I guess he's like very like nervous and like anal about like a lot of things. And like Kenny and Spenny, they were like smoking weed in the green room. He was like freaking out, this and that. And I'll never forget that like their closing bit. What they do on stage is like a humiliation, right? Mm. If you ever watch the show, they do humiliations.
Yeah.
So the bit is basically Spenny, he has to give an audience member a prostate exam on stage.
No.
So he's like, who's going to volunteer? And I think like five dudes just like ran up onto the stage and they all like took their pants down and bent over like automatically. And I'll never forget, like, the manager of, like, that theater, like, he freaked out. I was just hiding there, like, in the audience, sitting. I'm like, I have to watch this. And he freaked out. And, like, he ran up on stage, you know, like, he was just in the back there. And I could see him, like, snap. He's like, what can I do right now? He's like, I can't do anything, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, I have to let this happen. And it was interesting because, like, Kenny, he put a glove on and he put like lube on his fingers, you know?
Oh, this was not, this is for real.
Yeah, this happened on stage.
Oh, giving a, crap.
Yeah. So I remember like there was a huge like anticipation of this prostate exam, you know?
Yeah.
Because they had like a lineup of five dudes and you could just feel the anticipation. But once like Spenny put like his fingers in the first dude's like bum,
yeah,
it like all went away. And everyone just got grossed out at the same time. They're like, what's happening?
Whoa.
It was like complete mood in the air. Like completely like took like a 180, you know? So like.
Yeah, it went from this like, I think this is going to be funny. He's not going to do. And when he did it, it's like, oh shit, that's kind of gross.
Yeah. So that's something that I'll always remember in comedy probably. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. You don't really see that every now and then, like a live prostate exam at a comedy show. Eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a very memorable story there. Anything that you want to say about the comedy festival, about whether it's the Cannabis Comedy Festival or Jewish Comedy Festival? When do they happen? Where can people check them out?
So the next Jewish Comedy Festival, we're doing shows at the GCC right now. It's going to be November 17th. It's called Jewish Schmucks. That's the show. Mm-hmm. It's a good name. I have a lot of people calling me for tickets. A lot of the Jewish senior citizens call me. They're like, I want to get some tickets to see some schmucks. So it's been pretty good marketing on that so far. Okay. Cannabis, we just had our show yesterday. So yesterday was the 4th year anniversary of legalization.
Right.
So we did a show yesterday at, I guess it's like a secret venue that we have where you can smoke inside.
Okay. So a couple of shows coming up there. How can people connect with you on social media, man? Do you have a website? Do you use Instagram, Twitter? Where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram, Ronan, and 2 underscores underneath that.
Dude, this was a lot of fun, man. This is definitely one of my favorite episodes.
I hope none of my coworkers find this. I'm just kidding. I'm
man, I knew just having a comic on this episode would be a lot of fun. Honestly, man, just the tone is completely changed. Like sometimes I'll bring in like, you know, I don't know, executives or other teachers or principals, and you know, it's very, yeah, it's a different tone. And but today, man, I had a lot of fun just shooting the shit with you, talking comedy, one of my favorite subjects, talking about teaching and just the two worlds. And sometimes people just don't get it. And unless you do both, it's hard to relate. So
yeah, definitely.
Thank you, my man, for chatting and coming on the show today. Hopefully, man, I can bump into some more shows. And because, dude, you killed at that Just for Laughs roast battle, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, man. So hopefully I'll see you around. And for the rest of you guys, thank you guys for tuning in to today's episode. If you enjoyed today's episode, feel free to find us on Facebook or on Instagram at The Teacher Hotline. And of course, you could always listen and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and all other streaming services. Guys, we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Take care, everyone. Woo!